My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to be talking, teaching today in 2 Timothy. This will be our third lesson. So we're in chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 3. We're in chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 3. So get your Bibles out, your pencils and papers, and write these things down and mark in your Bible, write in the margins. I do that all the time. I write and I underline, I star, I circle, I do everything because it just helps me concentrate better. In fact, my son got me a new Bible. He made it himself. He took some very heavy paper and he went in 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper with huge printing, and he printed the whole New Testament for me. And I have it in a three-ring binder, and it's just, I got all kinds of room to write, and I can see it well. When you get old, I'm 71 years old, and I can see well with it, and it's just wonderful. But it's all marked up already, and I already marked up my other Bible so bad I couldn't read it anymore, hardly. But anyway, this is wonderful. It takes me a little while to get around it, not quite as fast as the other, because you got a lot more to move, but it's wonderful. So anyway, let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, no, it's chapter 2 and verses 3, and this is the lesson 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." See, we have found that he had lost his church. All the churches in Asia, we found that in verses 15 in chapter 1, that all the churches in Asia were lost. They turned away from Paul's gospel. And Paul, and Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus, and that's the church in Asia. He lost his church because of Judaizers that came into the churches and told these people in these churches that believing the gospel isn't salvation, that they had to also be circumcised. They had to keep the law, and many other things too, no doubt, like baptism, like anything that the Jews had to do, keep the Sabbath, and all these things. And they say they come directly from the apostles, see, that walked with Jesus, see, and they didn't understand, they didn't know that there's two gospels. We're going to talk about that, and they lost their church, and they lost their salvation for the Gentiles, see. Anyway, he tells him to be a good soldier anyway, and it's tremendously important. Now let's go to verse 4. It says, "No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life." In other words, he's having to become a soldier. This is a battle for him now. And he said, the things of this life, you can't but worry about it. You can't worry about the affairs of this life, that you may please him through God who has chosen him to be a soldier. And that's what he has done now. And he's cast a battle. He has chose me to be a soldier, as a faithful person. It created me as a faithful man. I just humbles me every day that he would choose me to teach the gospel. But he did. And I am doing that. And I'm going to continue till God takes me home. But it's a battle. It's a warfare. I have to be a soldier. And I can't worry about the things of the world. All I'm going to do is focus on the gospel, see. And if a man also strives for ministry, yet he is not crowned except he strives lawfully. What do you mean by that? Well, think what happened to Timothy. He lost his church because of these people, these two men they talked about. You know, I can't pronounce their names very well, so I won't even try. But in verse 15, he lost their church with him. He feels like going over there and bloodying both of them's nose, I bet you. You know, look what he's done. Not only did he ruin the church, these people in the church have lost their salvation because they turned away from the gospel. That's the only way you can lose it. But obviously these people didn't believe it, or they wouldn't have walked away from it. And it talked about a man that maybe he didn't walk away from it. Maybe he truly did believe it, you know, but he was caught up in the middle of it, you see. And so we have to be soldiers, but we got to do it, strive lawfully. We can't use our own emotions, you know. We've got to do what God wants us to do. It says that the husbandman or the faithful man that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. You see, those people that we talk to, come to know Christ, see, through the gospel, we're going to be partakers of that. What do you mean by that? Well, some people say you get money from it. That isn't what I mean by that. Partakers is the partakers in the joy and in the rewards of bringing these people to know Christ. And those rewards will not come until we get to heaven. See? But we're going to be partakers of those people who believe the gospel. And I've been teaching the gospel in my little ministry that's not mine, it's God's ministry. There's over 9,500 people now have come to listen to these to my teachings. I'm not saying all 9,000 believed in it, but if only two of them, I'm going to be partakers of the rewards, because God will reward me for allowing Him to speak through me, you see. Allowing God to speak through me, I'll be partakers of those rewards. Verse 7, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, you see. And you see, when you believe the gospel, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. You've got Christ living in you. We talked about that last session. Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. We've got Jesus living in us. And it's just fantastic. And that's how we get the understanding in all things. It's not our ability. Excuse me, it's God's. What God did for us. Remember that Jesus, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to Paul's gospel, to my gospel, he said. You see, that's what got him in trouble. There's no doubt about it. The Jews couldn't stand it for him to stand up and tell them that they killed their Messiah and that he rose from the dead, see. That he rose from the dead. They just can't understand that, and they don't want it to. And that's why he was in prison. Because they came down on him so hard that the Jews were going to put him to death. They put to death anybody they didn't believe. They still do that. Not the Jews, the Middle East does. If you don't believe, if you're a Muslim and you don't believe in you might be the same race of people, but if you don't believe the way one group does, they just kill you. See, they just kill you. And that's what the Jews did back in those days. And so what did he have to do? He's a Roman, see. So he asked that the Romans would judge him. He thought that they would be fair, realized he didn't do anything worth death. But I found out it was wrong, because he's going to die. This is his last letter that he ever wrote, because he was in death row at the time. He was in death row. It says, verse 9, therein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. See, evildoers only go to prison. But he was as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But he said, the word of God is not bound. You see, what we told you before, he had these soldiers, these Roman soldiers that were tied to him, were chained to him every day, and every day they changed new ones. And every one of those people that came out of there, they preached the gospel. They preached. I know they knew the gospel when they left Paul. There's no way you would know the gospel and believe that gospel after being 12 hours with him. Anyway, and they spread it throughout the Roman kingdom. And he said, even to the city, even to the house of Nero, the people had believed the gospel. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Who's the elect's sake? For the church. See, for the church's sake. He endured all these things. And I mean, he endured all things. Let me read this, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's all he did. He endured, and he endured a lot. Let's just look at that a second. Probably some of you have seen this many times, but I don't get tired of teaching it, because there's a lot of new people all the time listening. But look what he endured. Turn it over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verses 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24, and look what it says. It says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Think about that. Christ was beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails and nearly cut him in two. Horrible. But Paul endured it five times. Not only did he have to, when he did it, Christ went to the cross. But what did they do with Paul? They threw him down in a dungeon, in a prison. What kind of prisons were they in those days? I had a friend of mine that a friend of his told him when he went to these different places throughout the Christendom, and these cities where Paul was at. And they were touring them, and they showed them what a prison was. And all it was a hole in the ground that went down about 20 feet, and then it was bailed out, and they'd lowered these people, these prisoners, down in that hole, and that's where they stayed. Can you imagine being beaten 39 times, and your whole back was just tore apart, nothing but hamburger? And they pushed you down in that hole with nothing but a cesspool. They sent them water and they sent them food. And when you have food, you're going to have urine. When you have, water, you're going to have urine. You're going to have feces when you have food. And that, they had no place to put it, and it was just a cesspool. And how he got out of those places without getting blood poisoning with all those open wounds on him, it was a total miracle of God. But they pulled him out of there, and what did he do? He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. And then it says, three times he was beaten with rods. It was virtually the same. It's just as bad. They say when them rods hit you so hard that they knock the wind out of you, and before you can get your breath, they hit you again. And when they hit you so hard, they break your ribs, they break your vertebrae, and many people never walk. And some people die. See, they just break their backbone. But Paul was beaten three times that way and thrown in prison in those dungeons. And what did he do? He got out every time. What did he do? He preached the gospel. See, he said, once I was stoned. He was stoned. When the Jews stone you, they didn't stone you alive, they stone you to death. And that's when he died. There's no doubt about that. They drug him out of that town like a dead horse. And what happened? His soul and spirit went to heaven. We can hear about that in the next chapter, chapter 12. We won't go through that, but you want to hear about his heavenly experience? Not only did he meet Paul meet the Lord on the road to Damascus, not only did he spend 3 years with him in Arabia, he also spent a time with him in heaven. This man knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was preaching. And then he was shipwrecked, he said. I was shipwrecked a day and a night, and I have been in the deep, you know. And then he says, in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathens, in perils in the cities, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily was the care of the churches. This is the man who spent his whole life preaching the gospel, and the churches today won't preach it one sermon. They spend 95% of their time in teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as no salvation for the body of Christ whatsoever. And they go to the Old Testament just long enough to tell you that you've got to pay the tithe. They can't find that in Paul's writings. There's no tithe in Paul's writings. When you got God living in you, money isn't a problem, because your total allegiance when Jesus is with you will be to the body of Christ, and it doesn't make any difference what it costs. You'll want to pay it, because that's what God wants you to do, and you wouldn't want to do anything that God wouldn't want you to do. See, money wouldn't be a problem if the churches preached the gospel, because everybody's life would be changed. Totally changed. When you got God living in you, all things have passed away. What's passed away mean? It's Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. It says we become a whole new creation. See, when we believe this gospel, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a whole new different creation. Old things have passed away. Everything that it just mean nothing to you anymore. You only have one thing on your mind, and that's spreading the gospel. All things become new, see. when you believe the gospel. Finances isn't a problem for a church that preaches the body of Christ. It never will be, because these people, when they learn it, God will be living in them, and He will direct them the way they should go. And they'll want to go that way, too. So that gives you an idea what Paul went through, and it's tremendously important, and we've got to understand it. He said in verse 9, "Therefore I suffer troubles, even as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, eternal glory with eternal glory." Now verses 11, this is chapter 2, verses 11. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." You see, what it means, there's two different ways to look at that. When we believe the gospel for our salvation, we not only believe that Christ died for us, we also believe that old sin nature that we have is also nailed to that cross also. This is Romans chapter 6. We believe that it is nailed on that cross. When we believe when he was buried, we believe that old sin nature was buried also. And when he rose from the dead, we also believe that we rose from the dead victoriously, just like Christ did. And we left that old sin nature behind, because we have God now living in us. We don't want to sin. That's the last thing we want to do. And if you don't want to sin, you won't sin. Are you saying that we never sin? I'm not saying that. I'm saying we won't want to sin. If we do, God will pick us up and set us on the right track and keep right on going. You see, if we make a mistake, His grace is sufficient. But that isn't, if you don't want to do something, you're not going to do it. It says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him." I promise you, when you believe the gospel, you're going to suffer. I've gone through some suffering that I never ever thought it would happen to me. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to reign with Him someday also. See, I'm going to be with Him. I always knew that when we go to heaven, those who did His will on this earth, we're going to have a closer walk with Him. What does it mean by that? We're going to reign with Him. We're going to be in His with Him. You see, we're not going to be sitting out here in the bleachers. We're going to be right down there working with Him, and how wonderful that'll be. It says, "If we deny Him, He will also deny us." He will deny us. He's just telling the truth. If you don't believe the gospel, you're not going to be saved. If you deny the gospel, you're not going to be saved. He'll deny you. It says, "If we believe not, yet He abides faithful." See, He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. If He said that, if you said you don't believe Him, and then God says, "Well, that's okay," He would be denying Himself, because He just told us up here in the first head that if we deny Him, He will deny us. You see, my preacher taught that you can't lose your salvation by this, because even if you don't believe it, God is faithful that you can be saved. That isn't what it says. If you deny God, He is going to deny you. That's what it says. And He has to be faithful in saying that, because He said it. And that's the way it is. Of 14, "Of these things, put them in remembrance." Remember that Christ will deny you if you deny Him. "Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." You see, you can take these verses and twist them, and all you're doing is subverting the hearers. It's like I was told that you don't have to believe in God. He's faithful. Yeah, sure, He's faithful. He's faithful when He tells you what He's going to do. He's going to do it. And if you think otherwise, you're going to be subverted in your hearing, and you're going to suffer the consequences. Now we're going to go to a verse that is just, every person should understand this verse. And we're going to take some time. I don't know if we've got the time to do it or not in this session, but it doesn't make any difference. We'll do it in session 4. But it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed." How many people did you know today spend time studying in the Bible? How many thousands upon thousands of people that go to church on Sunday, when they walk away from church, they never even think about it till the next Sunday? How many carry their Bibles to church, and when they get home, they lay them down and they never opened up? What do you think the percentages are? Well, I don't know. But in what I see, very, very, very few people study to show their self-improved. They just rely on the pastor. But what if the pastor? What if the pastor is one of those ministers of righteousness? Are you going to rely on a pastor? I'm not going to rely on any pastor. There's no pastor going to tell me anything. If I can't back it up with the scripture, I'm not going to believe it, you see. And when the preacher tells me that I got to take Jesus as my Savior to be saved, I'm not going to believe him, because that isn't what the book says. The book says we're to believe the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. He didn't say anything about taking Jesus as your Savior. It's believe the gospel, see. So I'm not going to listen to a pastor. My whole eternity is based on what's in this book. And if I don't understand this book, I'm going to lose it. I can't depend on it, because the ministers of righteousness are everywhere. I have yet, at 71 years old, have been into heard a church, been into a church that preached the gospel. Now, that's not quite true. I didn't mean it the way I said it. I've been in a couple. But I never was there when they preached. Let's put it that way. Because I was doing the teaching at that time. But I presume they are continuing to teach the gospel. And that's only been in the last 6 months. See? My whole life. Never heard a church preach the gospel. So am I going to rely on the pastors that taught me all these years? No. I am going to study to show myself approved. Needeth not to be ashamed. What does it say? Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the key to knowing how to study the Bible. How to rightly divide the word of truth. So now, what is the word of truth? What is the word of truth? Well, you don't just guess what it is. You find out what it is. So you compare scripture with scripture. So let's turn back to Ephesians. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to show you what the word of truth. I can show you in other places too, but this is fantastic. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. It says, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. It says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. Of your salvation. Who is he talking to? Ephesians. What were Ephesians? Gentiles. Who are we? Gentiles. This is the gospel of our salvation. Your salvation. See? In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we know that the word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. Okay? It's the gospel of your salvation. You can see it again in Colossians. If you go back to the text, just stop by Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, thereof you heard therefore the word of truth. What is it? Of the gospel. See? That's your hope laid up for you in heaven. It's the word of truth. The gospel. See? That's the gospel. So we see, comparing scripture with scripture, the word of truth is the gospel. Now, I want you to see, understand this. And this is very important. Just turn back to Galatians. Turn back to Galatians. And let's look at verses. Chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And I'm going to tell you something that the world has not a clue. They don't have a clue what's going on here. When Peter, James, and John and the disciples were teaching, a good part of that time, Paul was teaching. Paul was teaching to the Gentiles. He was made the apostle to the Gentiles. Time and time again, you've heard me tell you that. He was apostle to the Gentiles. Was Peter, James, and John apostle to Gentiles? No. Was Jesus a teacher to the Gentiles? No. Jesus said, I only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he commanded his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5, he commanded them not to go to the Gentiles, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so what Peter, James, and John taught after Christ rose from the dead and went back to heaven, what did they teach? They preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he preached that to who? To the Jews. It's always, you men of Israel. It's always, you men of Israel. That's what he taught. So, what did Paul preach? The gospel of grace. And what was salvation for the gospel of grace? To believe the gospel, see. What was the salvation for the Jews? They had a tremendous things, the works. It was a religion. But it came right down to it. They had to repent. And they had to be baptized. And they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And then they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what did we have to do? Believe the gospel. The gospel has nothing, there's nothing about repenting. There's nothing about being baptized. Just believe the gospel of grace. Grace means unmerited favor. So there were two gospels being preached at the same time. And we have to rightly divide the word of truth. The gospel. The gospel that was preached to us, that which is our salvation, is what Paul preached. Now let me tell you about, show this now. Turn to chapter 2. And we're going to spend some time here, but this is important. Well, we're not going to spend too much on this one, but we're going to get started on it anyway. We're going to start out. He said, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem. What was he doing for those 14 years? He was putting together churches of the body of Christ all through Asia. And then they were having problems. They were having real problems. Because the Jews were going into these churches and telling these churches of Paul's that they had to be circumcised. They had to keep the law. And Paul said, Jesus told him to go up there and get this settled with the 12. And that's what he did. He went up there and was going to talk to the 12. We're going to start on this in the next session. Father, thank you for this time to be able to teach your word and help me, Lord. Give me the strength and courage and speak through me, Lord, that these people would understand the gospel and how important it is that they believe the gospel for their salvation. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.